everybody. Hallelujah. 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 It says that the rock will praise him, so will I. Do you have a so will I anointing in your spirit today? So will I. So will I. That means that I command myself, so will I. Amen. You all may be seated. My name is Elder Ice, and I have the pleasure of bringing up our speaker today. Y'all, this man of God, master teacher. When I say master teacher, I'm saying get your notebooks out, get your pens. I'm going to ask him to go slow so we can catch up, okay? Because the revelation that he has is amazing. So we're just going to let him go. We're going to let him preach, and we're going to support. We're going to pay attention. We're going to listen. And we're just going to let the Holy Spirit have his way in here today. Amen? Amen. So without further ado, I'm bringing up my brother, Minister Troy LeGrand. Put your hands together for Minister Troy.
That was almost tragic, but God. What's up, everybody? Welcome. I say congratulations. We made it. We made it. If I'm gonna be real, there were times where some of us didn't know if we'd make it or not, but God. It's so relevant that it's raining outside today, because I feel as though that's what God is trying to show us. If you would submit to his will and submit to his way, he will rain down blessings on the church. The thing that he's looking for, though, are active participants. He's not looking for you to watch. He's looking for you to get in the flow of the Spirit. So when the ministers are singing, so will I, it's not for us to sit back and appreciate the singing. Because what they're doing, they're empowering us to get into the flow of the Spirit. And it doesn't make sense for you to wake up early on a Sunday morning, get in the shower, get dressed, come here, and not reap the benefits of getting in the Spirit. So, Minister Charles, I'm going to ask you, Minister Maya, they didn't catch it the first time, but we know that God is a patient God. So if you don't mind, if you can sing just a little bit more, because God desires that not one of us would be left behind. God's not looking for a packed church. He's looking for a unified church. So when they start singing, it would behoove you to get in the wave of the Spirit, because the word says when two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. And you've come here because you need something. Some of you need healing. It's in the midst. Some of you need provision. It's in the midst. Some of you need direction. It's in the midst. So let's get unified and get in the flow of what God is saying. Amen.
Come on and lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. Father, we thank you for putting us on this earth, Lord God, to do what you have called us to do. Father, we thank you. Come on and lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. He's here. He's here. God of creation, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point, 100 billion galaxies are born. That's okay. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a canvas fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. So will I.
Of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. Oh, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every pain is sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. Woo!
So will I. So will I. So will I. So will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I.
If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I.
If the ocean roars your greatness, so will I.
For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I.
If the sum of all our praises still falls shy,
then we'll sing your praise 100 billion times. My heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die.
And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your love so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I.
I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I.
I can see your heart in 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
There's a sound, church. There's a sound that he's looking for. There's a sound that the world knows at the church. The Lord's not looking for a quiet church. He's looking for the power of the church. And there's a sound. In Acts it said, when the Spirit came down, there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind. There is power in your praise. And the enemy wants to keep your mouth shut because he knows if you open your mouth, the praises will bring the blessings down. I challenge you, not for me, not for Pastor Jeff, I challenge you to praise your God. Your God. Your God. Your God. He's brought you from a mighty long way. I don't need to know your story. You know your story. I don't need to know your business. He knows your business. And if we were going to keep it all the way 1,000, half of us shouldn't be in here right now. But God. Bless you. I haven't come to make you feel ashamed. I've actually come to encourage you today, because there's a word from the Lord. And the beautiful thing about God is he doesn't wait until the preacher comes up to start speaking. But if you're in tune with the Spirit, you'll hear him speaking during praise and worship. You'll hear him speaking when you walk through the door and you speak to somebody who serves in ministry. You'll hear him speaking to your heart. Don't wait for me. I'm just giving the message that God has already given. For instance, Elder Glenn and Elder Keisha spoke about celebrating Pastor Jeff and Lady A. And amen to that. But without you, there is no church. The Lord looks at the church in order. He looks at the head. And then he looks for those who are willing to serve according to the vision that the head has given. And then after those who are willing to serve, he looks at the congregation to see if they're willing to go where he's trying to take them. We're going somewhere, church. I don't know if you know it, but we're going somewhere. And before we go somewhere, God has called me to give you the instructions to ensure we all get there together. God has ordained Jeff to be the head of this house. Why? because he has learned to submit in service. The Lord has called Lady A to lead this church. Why? Because she has learned to submit in service. If y'all really knew the story, if you really knew what they've been through and are still here to lead this congregation, you would know that God is real. Your first lady has been here since 1993. Diligent in the ministry. And I'm not trying to tell her business, but she was diligent when the ministry didn't love her back. Why? Because she loved the Lord. Pastor Jeff sat here for years serving, knowing he was called to greater, but he trusted God. And look at what God has done. All right. Let's pray. Let's get into the scripture. Let's get you out of here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bless you for your character. I bless you because of your word. Lord, as Elder Rag said in the back today, your word is the most powerful thing we have. And you've made it above your very name. How awesome is that? That you've made your word more powerful than your very name. So we commit to submit to your word today, Lord. Hide me behind your rugged cross. As I decrease, I pray that you would increase, Heavenly Father. Speak to your people life and life more abundantly. Help us to realize that you have given us a promise for a purpose, for us to possess the land. But before we possess the promise, we've got to be prepared to cross over. So reveal your plans for us, and we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be reading out of the NASB. And what I want to do, we're going to read from verses 1 to verses 11, but it's so packed that I need us to slow down. Because this is the thing a lot of times with God's revelation. We are so quick to do something with it that we miss the fullness of what he's trying to tell us. So the Lord will drop in your spirit love. And because you're so quick to want to do, you'll think he's calling you to love somebody. But the fact of the matter is, he may be saying love as a resting place because he understands how tired you are. So while you're ready to do, knowing that your tank is empty, he's trying to show you his love so he can refill your tank. And the thing is, if we're not careful to receive the full instructions in order to possess what he's giving us, we won't have that thing for long. It's like when you get the keys to a car and the person is trying to give you the full understanding of its purpose, but you're so quick to want to drive it, you don't wait for the instructions. You end up putting gas and it takes electric, and 2 months later the car is broken. Is it that God wasn't faithful? No, he was faithful. We just weren't patient to receive the revelation. We're going somewhere, church. I don't know if you know it, but we're going someplace. We started in 125. And the Lord moved us to Rolling Avenue. And from Rolling Avenue, he moved us here. But it's not stopping here. There's greater, but before we go for the greater, we have to be prepared to cross over. And verse 1 says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. Now let me pause right here. A lot of times people are afraid to preach and teach out of the Old Testament because they feel as though there's a difference between the old and the new. But there is no difference. Simplistically said for my theologians, the Old Testament provides physical descriptions of spiritual principles. Do you understand that? Let me give you an example. When the children of Israel were in the desert, in the wilderness, and they needed water, God gave them a rock. And from that rock, they would get water to quench their needs. Amen? That's a physical description. But how many know that Jesus is that water? And the chief cornerstone that establishes your faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we see the children of Israel, this is the example of the physical example of the New Testament church. We are spiritual beings. And we learn from the mistakes of those so that we might progress in the things of the Lord. Amen? So it says, now it came about after the death of Moses. So when we see death here, I don't want you to think of dying, but of transition. Because before full power can be bestowed on a head, the old has to transition out. Pastor Jeff was called to minister and to serve in the wilderness. Come on. Can we keep it funky today? He took over in 2020. How long had it been since y'all had in person? 2 years. COVID was going on, right? And COVID revealed a whole lot of things about us because we didn't have the church to cover up our mess. So God used the wilderness to transition one out and to bring one in. The sad thing is, we lost many along the way because they could not see that it was the same God powering the new minister. So it says, he spoke to Joshua, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Michael's servant. Jeff served before he led, faithfully. And it said he sent his word to Jeff. Now, I told you what Elder Rag said. He will make his word more powerful than his name. We're not just talking the written word, but this church is to be run by his Rhema word. Rhema word is imperative when you're going someplace. When the Spirit moves, you have to move with the Spirit. It isn't time for you to decide if what the Spirit's saying jives with what your ideas are. Because if you do that, you'll get left behind. So it says he spoke to the servant. And then in verse 2 it says, Moses, my servant, has transitioned. Pastor Michael is gone and his work is completed. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like to y'all, his purpose has been completed. And he says, because my servant has transitioned, it's time for you to rise up and cross this Jordan. So this is what I'm saying. When you see cross, automatically you're thinking of an action. But how many people know that crossing over is also a location? The crossing point is the position between your wilderness experience and your promised land. And success in your promised land is predicated on your ability to submit to the lesson in the crossing point. So you know what people say? They say, if you don't know where you come from, you will not know where you're going. So what is the wilderness? The wilderness is where God puts you to purge you. Because he gave us all a promise. And the promise and the declaration led you into the wilderness. You know that. In the Gospels, the Spirit came down like a dove and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And because he declared the promise, the very next chapter says he led him into the wilderness. We don't got to make it super spiritual. All of us have been saved by a promise. But it's in the wilderness where you learn that he's not only your Savior, but your Lord. Don't miss that. You come to God because he saved you. But he's not only a Savior, he has the authority and the lordship to direct your path. And until you submit to that lordship, you will remain in the wilderness. Because the wilderness isn't predicated by time, but by submission. This is why I say congratulations. Because we have moved out of the wilderness, y'all. Not all of us that should have made it have made it. But you all have made it. The crossing point between the wilderness where you learn submission and the opposite side is the promised land, the place of possession. This is the place where you receive the thing he promised you way back then, right? But before you receive the possession, you've got to understand that though he promised it to you, it doesn't mean that it's vacant. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I want to help somebody out. The Lord is, you've been praying for a job. And you're trying and you're trying and you're trying and you can't seem to get the job because you're looking for help wanted. You're looking in the paper, you're looking on the internet. The job he wants to give you is taken already. Somebody is sitting in possession of the job he's called you to have. But it's going to take the planning and submission of what God is telling you to do in order to move that person out of your position in order for you to occupy it. So it says, cross over you and all of these people. All of these people into the land, watch this, which I'm giving them. It doesn't say, which I'm giving you, Jeff. It says, cross over into the land that I'm giving them. The promise is for you. Jeff is just a servant to ensure that you get the promise. And here's where unity needs to take place. Because if Jeff doesn't submit and doesn't empower the ministers, then you don't get the promise. This is why you need to be praying for him, if I'm going to keep it 100. because your promise is directly attached to his ability to fulfill the work and the purpose that God has given. You and all the people into the land which I am giving them to the sons and daughters of Israel. Now understand, the Old Testament is a representation of the New Testament church. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, I won't go there. It says that we are now called the children of God. So it says here, I'm giving the children of God the promise that I told them, that led them into the wilderness to perfect them, to possess the thing that I promised. Go to the next verse for me. Every place, Jeff, you place the sole of your foot on, I have given to you, just as I have spoken to Moses. So you got to understand, in this verse, this is the same promise he gave to Moses. What y'all need to understand is, this isn't the first name change to this church. This ain't the first time this church has gone through transition. This is the fourth generation. And some of y'all don't realize that God is faithful to Pastor Michael's grandfather who started the church. And there were some promises that he gave to them that y'all are about to reap the benefit of. He's faithful. Y'all thinking changing the title changes the church. It don't change the God. And until the promise is fulfilled, until it's fulfilled, God's work isn't done. So hence I say congratulations, because we are at the crossing point. Just as I spoke to Moses, next verse, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, occupied territory, they're sitting in it for you. And as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory, not Jeff's territory, but your territory. But here's the kicker. You only get it if you allow Jeff's foot to tread on the destination, which means that you've got to submit to his leadership. If his foot don't touch it, we can't claim it. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? Just as I have been with Moses, the one you served, I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Now watch this, because this is the order of God. God has promised him his presence. And because God has promised Joshua and Jeff his presence, he can now command something from Jeff. Next verse. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I've promised my presence will be with you. So, if we're going to get the promise, we have to understand the responsibilities that have been placed on Jeff. Be strong and courageous. Why? For you shall give the people, you, the possession of the land which I swore to their fathers generations ago. Be strong and courageous, Jeff, because your promise is predicated on his ability to tread the ground. This is why we honor him. Because you've seen his heart. You've seen his actions. You've seen his deeds. We're not, church, we're past eloquent speech. We need the anointing to destroy the yokes. Only be strong and very courageous. Uh-oh. He done raised it up a notch. Why do I have to be very courageous? Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you to do. Do not turn to the right or to the left of it, so that you may have success wherever you go. Go back real quick. Go back. Why do you have to be very courageous? It takes courage to live this word out, folks. We face temptation everywhere we go today. Instagram, YouTube, you walk out in the street, I think wearing underwear is optional these days. There are all kinds of obstacles in front of you begging you to steer away from the word. But Jeff, if you're gonna lead these people and lead them into the promise that I've promised them, understand your judgment is gonna be greater. So many people want the title. So many people want the title, not realizing that there's a stricter judgment. Everybody wants to lead. Not many people want to lead according to the scriptures. Hear that. Everybody's talking about followers on Instagram and Facebook and all of these things, but where are you leading them? Understand there is a greater judgment if you assume the position of leadership. So choose wisely. It gives example that if you want to lead, you should learn to serve first. We can go to the next verse. This book, the book which Moses wrote the first five of, shall not depart from your mouth. Jeff, that book shall not depart from your mouth. Because that is the weapon that he's called you to lead the people with. And without the word, there is no promise. But not only shall the law not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, you need to understand, when it says meditate here, we're not talking about think. But if you do a word study, it's talking about proclaiming. Hence, you should be very courageous, because not only do you have to submit to the word, but you got to be brave enough to speak the word to those that don't want to hear it. So that you may be careful to do all according that is written. Now watch this. For then, and only then, will it make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Success don't touch us until Jeff submits his life to the word, proclaims the word, and lives the word out. The head. Before we get to the promised land, the head's got to be in place. Amen? This is what's required of the leadership. And when you see the leadership not submitting to this, this is when you need to depart from where you are. Because if he ain't submitted, you're not getting your promise. Next verse. Have I not commanded you? This word command, we should call empower. Have I not empowered you? How have I empowered you? By the word that I've given you. Have I not empowered you? by my presence, the first thing he said was, I will be with you. And if I will give you my presence and give you my rhema and written word, how can you not be encouraged? So I'll tell you again, because I've given you all of these things, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, Jeff and Lady A, because we don't want to get it twisted. Ministry is not just what you see, but ministry starts where you don't see. And if Lady A wasn't submitted to the word, there'd be no way that Jeff would have the opportunity to study the word. If Lady A wasn't submitted to the word, there would be no way that his household would be dedicated to the word. Not only that, but in this transition, I decree that you will see Lady A's teaching gift come forth. Don't tremble, because Lady A got you. Don't be dismayed, because it's not all on you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Next verse. And what did Jeff or Joshua do with the word that God gave him? The revelation that God gave him. He encouraged his leaders. Do you see the transition from the head to the leadership, the ministers who have been called to serve? The Lord has revealed his purpose to Jeff. Jeff's responsibility is to educate the congregation in order to follow. Revelation comes to the head, education comes to the body. Do you understand that? Revelation comes to the head. It is the responsibility of the one who's called to be the head to educate the revelation received. Husbands, the Lord has given you a revelation. It isn't for you to lord it over your wife, but he is judging you based on your ability to submit to it first, present the example, and then educate her in the principle so that she might receive the gift. Jeff got the revelation, and what did he do? He empowered the ministers. When you see Minister Charles and Minister Maya up there singing, they are empowering you, folks, to get the promise. This is why I'm telling you, you need to stop sitting on the sidelines and get in the flow, because it is powering you to get the possession. I want y'all to see this, because we're heading somewhere, y'all. We're heading somewhere. Go to verse 11. And he commanded the leaders to pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. Uh-oh, here we go. The leadership, the ministers, and then the congregation. The leader gets the revelation, empowers the ministers to go within the crowd and command and empower the people. You see this? Pass through the midst and empower the people. Jeff can't empower everybody. Jeff can empower from here. But it is the responsibility of those who serve to empower the congregation. When you usher in the Spirit of the Lord, you empower the congregation. When you work in the media ministry and allow the TVs and the mics to work, you are empowering the congregation to receive the possession. This is why all of us should be serving in ministry. But until you are able, God doesn't desire that any would be left behind, so he places the burden on us who are called to serve, to empower you until you can empower yourself. If you don't believe me, look right here. It says, empower the people, saying, prepare the provisions for yourselves. Prepare the provisions for myself. What does that even mean? What were the children of Israel getting fed in the wilderness? Manna. Who was supplying the manna? And it came down, and all they had to do was pick it up. And on Saturday, they needed to pick up two so that they can have extra. But you can't sit and be a bystander in the crowd anymore, y'all, because where we're going, you're going to have to take the lessons you've learned in the wilderness and use it to prepare provision for yourself. The scripture says, seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. The leadership and the ministers can give you all of the education you need, but the reception of it is up to you. Prepare your provisions because you know your appetites. He don't gotta know your appetite. The Lord revealed your appetite in the wilderness. And if we're gonna be real, there's still some things that ain't fully out of us. But if we're gonna get to the promised land, you got to take accountability of your salvation. Why? Because within 3 days, we about to cross over. But dig this. When we cross over to possess the land that I promised to give you, understand there's going to be opposition on the other side. I wish it was simple, y'all. I wish that we didn't have an enemy. But the fact is we do. Whose sole purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy everything that you have. The New Testament says, the kingdom suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. It's time to get violent, y'all. It's time to apply the teachings into our life because there's an enemy inhabiting the promises on the other side. And if we're going to get to the promise and possess it, we've got to ensure that our vessels are clean. Leadership gets the revelation. Ministers are empowered to carry it out. And the congregation are to check themselves, so that we might all cross over to the other side. And what's on the other side? What do you have need of? What do you have need of? That thing, the thing that you're afraid to come to the altar for, that thing that you don't want to ask your friend to pray for you for, that thing that you don't even like to pray out loud for because you might feel embarrassed, that's what's waiting on the other side. But if we're going to get to the other side, we got to get to the other side together. Amen? We're going somewhere, church. We are going somewhere, church. We're going somewhere, church. And God wants to make sure that we're getting there together. Amen? Bow your heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to witness your power, to witness your presence, and to witness your love. We say thank you for being faithful, Heavenly Father. You've brought us from a mighty long way. But as we celebrate where you brought us from, we also celebrate where you're taking us, God.